This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Good morning, DCR.
Got the number one pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
Call him every trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center Reed, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time, we provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And a good Monday morning, March the 29th, 2021. The show, as you know, of course, is DCR with you right here on 98.7 ESPN. Very busy. I mean, a very fruitful sports weekend. Knicks with a wonderful victory. Giannis don't care. Great Knicks win. Giants owner saying some very nice things about the future of this organization. I mean, we got baseball on Thursday. Huge trade in the NFL. There's so much to get into. And let's say good morning to Chris Canty. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing good, Dave. Good morning to you and Rico. I'm excited to get going today. We got a lot to talk about. But, Dave, I got to tell you this, man. After coming off of a beautiful Friday afternoon and a gorgeous Saturday, dealing with the weather yesterday and then waking up and it being cold again this morning, like, I just wish the weather would make up its mind. Either we're going to spring or we're going to stay in winter for a couple of more weeks. Figure it out, but this is getting ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm tired of the cold weather.
The weather feels like that life has been for the last year. Just can't make up its mind. Are we going in the right direction? Or are we not going in the right direction? Good morning to a man always headed in the right direction, Rick DiPietro. Good morning.
Good morning, David. Good morning, Christopher. Just sitting here looking What's at wrong? The NBA standings. Fourth place, New York Knicks. Feels good. And I will say this, too, before we get started. LaMarcus Aldridge, you couldn't have picked Miami. You see what he's done to me now? You should be in a good mood. You should have a smile on your face.
Why?
He may single-handedly had just ruined my bet, James Harden win the MVP.
You're not winning that bet anyway, but why do you think LaMarcus Aldridge is the piece that ruins the bet?
Because now they're a super team. Now, I mean, it's too much now. I can't fight against this. As good as James Harden has played, and as good as he'll be down the stretch, it's going to... I don't like my chances now. I'm going to be honest. I ordered the jersey and everything. I don't love my chances now.
You know, I was wondering, because you've been very vocal about it. We had the pre-show call, and we started discussing James Harden, and RJ says to me, are you nervous about it now? I said, no, I'm not nervous about it. I'm truly not nervous about it. Now, maybe that will happen, but at this moment, I'm not. And you were surprisingly quiet when that was brought up, and I guess this is the reason and the rationale behind it, huh?
Yeah, I don't love my chances now. I do not love my chances.
Which is good for the kids.
Well, it's good for the kids. bad for the show. I mean, everyone wants to see that beautiful video of you naked singing We Are the Champions. That's what people want.
Can we
qualify
too?
A video by Dave Rothenberg being naked as beautiful?
You heard what he said. Listen, I'm just going off of what he said. The way he describes it, it's beautiful. Okay. That's why I think I'm so interested to see it.
Beautiful pieces of the video. There's
Dave Rothenberg nudity makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, yes. I don't blame him.
Yes, I stand by that.
I think it makes
take
everyone
it. Take it.
Uncomfortable. What? not sure what that is from, but there you have it. So you're actually, so right now, if I said, is he going to win the MVP or not? There was a time where you believed he would. That time has now passed. You do not believe that Harden now wins the MVP.
Well, I'm going to pretend like I believe it because I want to win the bet. But currently in the moment, if I'm being truthful, no, I don't. I don't believe it's going to happen now. I don't know how you can at this point. I mean, you're going to get Kyrie back. It looks like it's going to be at least another week for KD.
At least,
but now you're going to have, you got Harden, KD, Kyrie, Blake Griffin, and you just bring in LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yeah, I don't like it. Do you, Chris, do you like this? That just anytime there's a good player available, he goes to either the Lakers or the Nets now?
Yeah, it feels a little weird, Dave. It's just like it takes some of the suspense out of the NBA season because you know this is all building up to the Lakers facing off against the Nets in the NBA Finals, and anything that happens before that is just... Yeah, I don't know. It's just fodder. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I'm with you on that one. It just kind of takes away some of the intrigue about what could potentially happen and who's going to win the chip.
You know what I love the most, too, is you see this now circulating the whole Kevin Durant Twitter post from 2010?
What did he say? No, I didn't see it.
Now everybody wants to play for the Heat and the Lakers. Let's go back to being competitive and going at these peoples.
Oh, my God. How bad does that look 11
that
years later?
That didn't age
huh?
well.
That does not age well.
That is awful. I mean, it's never been more apparent. Like, if you're a free agent and you have the year to try to win a championship, you're going to sign on with one of these huge teams. But I don't know. There's something kind of distasteful about that in sports, isn't there?
Well, here's the thing, Dave. Guys have been ring chasing forever, but it's just guys that are past their prime. You don't see guys that are in the heart of their prime deciding, you know what, we're all going to join up together and play together and try to win a championship. Like seeing James Harden and Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving come together, like we've never seen that before. Like we've never seen a team with that type of offensive firepower in NBA history. So the fact that you have guys that are willing to do that in the heart of their prime, that's the part of it that makes it a little weird for me. Like, if you're talking about guys that are at the end of it, I understand it. I get it. But when you got guys in the middle of their prime at the height of their powers, like, you would just like to see them be more competitive.
I think you got a lot of teams that just don't have no interest in being average. Right? Like, they're either competing for a championship or they're in the process of
the top overall pick, right?
Yeah, or they're rebuilding. I mean, look what Oklahoma City's doing right now. I mean, Oklahoma City told Al Horford, we're all set.
Stockpiling draft picks.
Chris, over the next 7 years, they have 17 first-round picks and 17 second-round picks. And they just told Al Horford, like, we're all set. You can train here, but you sit for the rest of the season, and then we'll trade you afterwards.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, but you can't criticize losing. Sam Presti. You can't say he doesn't know what he's doing, though.
Well, no. I mean, but listen, that's one of those teams, too, where, I mean, that's not a destination where you're going to get free agents. So, I mean, you're going to build that through the draft, and that's what they've done, and now they're in the process of trying to strip it down and rebuild it. But, I mean, when you look at the East, you really got, I mean, you got the three teams in the East. And then when you look at the West, which is obviously, I mean, as Dave would say, because his AFC is loaded, I mean, in the Western Conference.
Why? Why? Why can't you just talk about the West without bringing up the fact that I was right that the AFC
was
in fact
loaded? Because you were right. The AFC was in fact loaded. But, I mean, they got Drummond now in L.A., and it's amazing how average the Lakers are without LeBron James. Like, it's ridiculous how average they are. But when he comes back healthy, and what happens with AD, I mean, those are the two teams that you would point to, was Brooklyn and the Lakers as the teams you'd expect to be in the finals.
That's right. That's what it's going to be. Unless the Lakers don't come back healthy, they will be in the NBA finals. Yeah. I mean, who's the team that's going to stand in their way? The Jazz? No.
No.
Nuggets? No. Who? No one. Clippers? I don't think so. Suns? Come on. Suns could wind up with the top seed. They're not going to beat the Lakers in a 7-game series.
No, but those are the teams you're talking about. But I think, isn't that what we want to see? I mean, I know it. Listen, would you like it to be more competitive and not have every player decide when they're bought out or become a free agent, yeah, I want to go sign with Brooklyn, I want to go sign with the Lakers? In theory, yeah. But ultimately, when it comes down to it, NBA Finals, if you're going to give me Brooklyn against LeBron and the Lakers, yeah, I'll sign up for that.
Yeah, no, that will be, that'll be must-watch television. All right, so Jay Williams, as always, on a Monday, 5:30, he's going to join us this morning. And then Ian Begley at 7:30 this morning will join the show as well. Canny Canty, 6:45. Knicks, another big game, guys. You know, it's funny. We look back, and this is why you never know. You look back weeks ago, well, they're not going to win this game in Milwaukee. You don't know who's going to play and who's not going to play. And this year is very, very strange. Randle doesn't play in that game. Giannis doesn't play in that game. But the Knicks go into Milwaukee, win that game, and like you said, fourth in the Eastern Conference right now.
Yeah, that was a huge win. I mean, to go into that game, and I don't think when you watch Randle the previous game with what he was dealing with his thigh, that you felt like they're probably going to give him the day off, and then to see what Milwaukee was throwing out there. I mean, not only did Giannis not play, I mean, you had no Middleton, you had no Holiday, you had no Tucker, you had no defense. Like, they didn't play anybody.
No.
And of course it was, yeah. Of course it was the other Antetokounmpo, Thanasis, that decided to have his best game ever. He scores 23. But I mean, Alec Burks was great again. Hit a big three down the stretch. RJ Barrett had the big steal. And as much as they struggle with that zone defense, they found a way to pull out a close game.
Yeah, I also thought Derrick Rose coming back was big for the Knicks too. Having him come off the bench and being able to give some spark to that second unit, being able to have some punch. Him and Emmanuel quickly both dropping 13. Like, I think that was huge for the Knicks. Like, we've said it all along since he came over, him being a part of that second unit and being able to give the Knicks an advantage when you have the twos out there on the court, I think that makes a big difference in terms of giving them a little bit of an edge. And then Alec Burks was great, man. I mean, Rico, you hit it, man. I mean, the guy has been phenomenal the last couple of weeks, and you're just hoping that he can sustain this level of play down the stretch, because that'll put the Knicks in position where they don't have to worry about that play-in tournament. Like, they could actually start the postseason and be in a real series.
Yeah, it's very bunched up in the Eastern Conference, though. And a huge game. I mean, a huge game tonight at the Garden, 7 o'clock, right here on 98.7 ESPN. Miami takes a trip up north and takes on the Knicks. And what? I mean, this is a monster game here.
But that was the one positive, right? That LaMarcus Aldridge did end up going to Brooklyn, was he didn't go to the Heat.
Correct.
And that's one of those teams that's bunched up right there in the middle. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, this is, you know, hopefully Randall comes back. Unfortunately, I mean, sucks for Mitchell Robinson. He just comes back from the hand, and then now all of a sudden he ends up breaking his, fracturing his foot.
It stinks.
Which sucks for him. But, I mean, even when he was gone, he missed the 15 games. I think the Knicks were 9-6. I mean, Taj Gibson and Nerlens Noel have been really good for the Knicks. Really good for the Knicks. So, we'll see. I mean, Derrick Rose was good. I mean, he was definitely...
It's big having him back, too.
It's big having him back, but he wasn't...
It gives you more depth.
It absolutely gives you more depth, but he's still working his way back. Right? Like, he'll continue to progress. He'll continue to get better. But, I mean, this is... The Knicks are right there, man. I mean, 2 games over .500 going up against a good Miami Heat team that was in the NBA Finals. This is a good test tonight.
Yeah, this is a great test tonight. So, I mean, we have a lot to do today, right? We obviously have a ton of NFL. And let's kind of turn our attention there. And 800-919-3776. And, I mean, Mike Tannenbaum said it on the K-Show on Friday, and I think I could not agree with him more. Zach Wilson's your quarterback. Zach Wilson will be your quarterback, because if not, you would have traded out of that two spot. You would have traded with San Francisco and moved back and started to acquire a ton of picks and then done maybe what Miami would have done and moved back up into the top five or six if that's what you wanted to do. But they don't want to move out of that spot. They don't want to stockpile picks. They want to take Zach Wilson, and that is very obvious to a lot of people right now.
Well, I think what you would do is you'd connect the dots, right? I mean, why wouldn't San Francisco try to get up to two? Well, the only reason they wouldn't...
Logical play.
Well, yeah, that would make the most sense. But, I mean, you start looking at the relationships, right? I mean, the fact of the matter is, I mean, your head coach and your offensive coordinator come from San Francisco, so there's a relationship there. So I'm sure they're talking about, you know, who they like and everything else. So if we already know you're locked in at two with whoever it ends up being, could be Zach. I mean, it feels like it would be Zach Wilson now at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Then why would they even attempt it if you were already dialed in on this was going to be your guy?
Yeah,
that's the only thing that would make sense, because otherwise you would. I mean, if you're San Francisco, if you moved all the way up to three, why wouldn't you try to move up to two so you get your pick of the quarterbacks?
That's right.
Well, you would. And I think that's why everybody's connected the dots and saying that the Jets are locked in on Zach Wilson, because there's no way, if Joe Douglas is talking about him being open for business and listening to offers to all the players on his roster, if you're truly open-minded about what you're doing with the second overall pick, then you would listen to whatever trade offers teams would have to try to come up. So the fact that he's not listening, the fact that nobody's blowing up his phone, it just leads you to believe that everybody around the National Football League knows that the Jets are taking Zach Wilson. And to think about the haul that the 49ers gave up to the Dolphins in order to move up to that pick, I mean, guys, that just shows you how much of a conviction Joe Douglas has on the direction that he's leaning. Like, I mean, I just feel like the way that Mike Tannenbaum framed it on the K-Show, saying that they think that Zach Wilson is a couple of first-rounders and a third-rounder better than Sam Darnold, I mean, it's hard not to look at this scenario that way. It really is.
Yeah, this is what they're going to do. If you didn't hear it on Friday, and by the way, the K-Show, big news out of that show. They move up an hour. They're going to start at 2 o'clock and take you till 6:30 every weekday now. If you didn't hear that, that's right, 2 to 6:30. Then Carlin will hop on from 6:30 till 10 o'clock. So you get an extra half hour of each of those shows. You say, but I like Max. Well, Max goes nowhere. You'd listen to him on 10:50 a.m. Here is Tannenbaum Friday on the K-Show saying it is 100% that Zach Wilson to the Jets will now happen.
Clearly to me, they have just told the world 100% they're taking Zach Wilson. Because if they were going to keep Sam Darnold, presumably San Francisco would have made the same offer even get to two, that they went to three. So I think we got to start with that. I think that's kind of burying the lead with the coverage so far. I think 100% for sure we now know that Zach Wilson is a New York Jet.
So couple things. Firstly, I think it's obvious as well. I think they are absolutely going to go with Wilson. That's one. Two, if I were you, Rick, I would be terrified of what is happening with Miami. Absolutely terrified. And three, it's obvious that San Francisco likes three quarterbacks in this draft. Lawrence, they're going to have no chance with. Wilson, probably no chance with. And there's a third quarterback that San Francisco loves. Those are my takeaways from the trades on Friday.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And, I mean, to Chris's earlier point, I mean, isn't this what you wanted, Chris? I mean, you said when we're going back and forth, you know, trying to decide what we thought the Jets were going to do, I said part of the, you know, part of the assessment would be, you know, how much they could get for that second overall pick. And if you took that, you know, that trade package and added it to what you think Sam Darnold can be in year four, that would help you make the decision. You said, no, no, no. If you love Zach Wilson, then you got to draft Zach Wilson. Or if you love, you know, the potential of Sam Darnold, then there's no question. Then you trade back. So, I mean, this is the New York Jets signaling to people, I guess. Well, I mean, this is what it seems like, that they have conviction about the second overall pick. And if you're going to sit here and call in and say, you know, I trust Joe Douglas and I trust this new coaching staff, then you're going to have to trust what they're doing here. Because that's the decision that they've made right now.
Yeah, I don't think you have any choice. But the fact that they do have the belief in Zach Wilson, I think that's really all you want as a Jets fan, like for them to have a clear direction as to where the franchise is going. And if you look at the landscape of the division, it makes all the sense in the world to reset the money at the quarterback spot. Because let's face it, the Jets are a couple of years away from being able to compete. When you look at what the Dolphins are, when you look at what the Bills are, when you look at what the Patriots are trying to do, I just feel like if you're the New York Jets, it's unrealistic to think that this team is capable of winning the AFC East in 2021. This is a multi-year rebuild. And so I think when you start talking about the economics of the National Football League, there is no more valuable commodity in the NFL than a quarterback on a rookie deal. And so you'll have the benefit of being able to start over with that and have Zach Wilson for at least the next 4 years on a rookie contract so you can build out the rest of your roster and get to a point where you can actually win some football games.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I showed tremendous...
It's Monday, not the Saturday.
That's right, not the Saturday. I do like the Saturday. Tremendous signs of growth this weekend, by the way. You guys would be so proud of what I accomplished. Passover this weekend, right?
Yep.
I DVR'd the second half of Michigan Florida State yesterday so I could have Passover dinner with my family.
Well, you didn't miss much.
No, but I didn't know that at the time, right?
Okay.
I refuse to give you credit. Refuse.
Why?
Listen to what you just said.
What do you mean?
Listen to what you just said that you actually want credit for. Is you DVR'd a college basketball game for two teams that you don't even root for. This wasn't Georgetown. So you could eat Passover dinner with your family.
But you don't understand. That's
I understand.
Step for me.
No, this is not. This should not be a big step for you. We'll only be enabling you if we give you credit for this. That's all we'll be doing.
Now, I did get in trouble Saturday. That's why I said Saturday when we came back. I got in big trouble with my mom. Big trouble. Because we went to Passover at her house. She didn't realize I had set my phone up right in front of my water glass, and I was streaming the March Madness On Demand app as we were doing the Seder.
Nikki Rothenberg.
Yeah.
Okay, here's a quick question. You're in Long Island. You're 3 minutes from my house. You can't pick up the phone and call and say, hey, I'm in town?
But here's I never understood this. Because I'm near you, I should call you and tell you I'm near you. I couldn't see you.
Why couldn't you see me?
Well, because we're doing Passover at my mom's house.
Maybe you could have had dinner and then swung by. The kids could have played for a little bit, and then you could have went back to
which in theory would be
your
lovely
estate.
But we're still very nervous about, you know, exposing the kids. And I never understood, like, you were right near me and you didn't call me. There was no chance. I would love to see you. That will happen at some point in the not so distant future. It can't happen now. So because I was within like 4 to 5 miles of where you are, I should call you and tell you, hey, I'm within 4 to 5 miles of where you are.
Yeah, well, you never come out here. Like you very rarely come out to see your mom. So I would figure, I mean, our whole house has already had it. Your kids are going to school. I mean, it just would make sense. They could play outside. It would have been nice to see them. Plus, it would have been nice to have Milo get some of his energy out a little bit, run around with the kids.
Listen, if that was an option, absolutely. And that will happen in the coming months. The summer, 100%. But right now, I don't see that as a feasible option. So I didn't call you.
No, that's fine. Listen, that's fine. I get it. I understand. I'll just take notes. I will take notes. So next time I'm down by you, when I don't call, then now you can't get mad at me.
Oh, please. I never. When do I ever get mad at you?
Well, not mad. I'm a little. I mean, I would be a little bit offended. I mean, Chris would be a little offended.
I don't think so. Because I'm within a radius of where you live, I'm supposed to now call you if I can't see you?
That would have been nice. Throw me. I mean, not to call. You could have shot me a text.
So if I would have texted you and said, Rick, I'm 5 miles from where you live. Hi, how are you? Then what? Then where do we go? You'd say, Dave, would you like to come over? I'd say, I can't. We're busy. We're celebrating Passover.
I said, no problem. Thanks for letting me know. Like if Candy, came,
I don't understand.
If Candy came all the way from the
but
city.
But I knew I couldn't come over.
If
I knew
Candy
I wasn't
came all the way from
over.
The city to go shopping at Manhasset because he's bougie like that, and he didn't call me and say, hey, you want to meet up, you know, for a drink or lunch. I would give Candy the same kind of crap I'm giving
you.
Right
I'm not
now.
Saying you wouldn't, but I think it's unfounded. If Chris couldn't meet you, he's supposed to just text you and tell you, or call you and tell you, I'm near where you happen to live.
Yeah.
No, oh, hey, look, Rico, I'm with Rothenberg on this one, man. In COVID world, and then what he had this weekend with Passover with the family, there's no way that he was going to swing by your house. It just wasn't going to happen.
It wasn't going to happen. It was unrealistic.
No.
And don't pretend like the Passover dinner is that important
to
Dave.
He's watching. I love you, but I
streaming basketball.
See you.
He's streaming college basketball. He's trying to have a serious Passover dinner with his mom. Probably slave cooking this beautiful dinner, which was probably delicious.
It was. Oh, she made pot roast. Oh. Unbelievable.
I still have yet to get an invite for a Passover dinner at the Rothenbergs. And you know how much I love that food. Love
you do
it.
Love that food. Oh. I actually think you're like an honorary Jew. I really think if we were drafted now, we would take you right on the team.
If we're doing the racial draft?
Yes.
You would take me?
Yes.
All right,
I mean,
that's
you've
fine.
Been to bar mitzvahs.
Yes.
You've performed at a bar mitzvah.
Yes.
You're certified to perform the circumcision.
Yes.
You know lots of Jews.
Very good point.
You live on Long Island.
Very good point.
I mean, you're the one step removed.
I'm checking all the boxes here.
You're like the cousin one step removed. You're part of the family. You're part of the tribe. So maybe I should have invited you over.
No, listen, next time. I mean, I get it with COVID and everything else. I'm
next
just busting your chops.
I know you are.
I just miss seeing that beautiful face.
It's been a long... We haven't seen each other. The three of us have not seen each other in over a year.
Yeah,
it's crazy when you think about it like that, Dave. It's crazy, man. It's been a year.
What was the first week of March we saw each other?
Yeah. It was the first week of March. So Ben's bar mitzvah was on the first. That Friday we were together, and that's it. So the 6th or 7th, and that was it. That's the last time the three of us have seen each other.
That's crazy.
I'm actually serious when I say this. I could become emotional when the three of us see each other again.
I doubt it.
I'm telling you, I might. I'm not saying I'll full-on weep, but I could become emotional.
You don't have emotions. If it has nothing to do with your sports teams, you show
but
no
it,
emotion.
But it does. But seeing you guys reminds me of my sports teams.
If Canty
I can
brings
see him getting a little misty-eyed, Rico.
Yeah,
if you're wearing your Super Bowl ring, I could see it. Otherwise, no chance. You bring that Super Bowl ring, Dave will weep. If you don't, there's no... He'll be like, hey, guys, missed you.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
What's up? What do you want to lead the show with?
Yeah, okay. No, I don't think so. I think I will become possibly a little bit emotional to see the two of you. It's been over a year.
I'm going to go get my fruit and my oatmeal. See you guys in a minute.
Definitely oatmeal.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
I like Jay Will a lot. I think you like Jay Will a lot. I think he's trying to sabotage our show.
Yeah, I'm sick and tired of it. I mean, they keep poaching Canty. I don't love it.
So, firstly, he tells us, Illinois, you got to take Illinois. They're the only one seed that's out, and all the other one seeds are just rolling along. That's last week's issue. This week, Canty's leaving the show 7 o'clock every day this week because Jay wants him on KJZ starting at 7 o'clock. What gives it to you, Jay Williams?
Well, hold on a second, guys. This is if we're playing dice, you just got to learn how to fade me. Just fade me. I mean, if I tell you something, then take the opposite way of that advice. This way, you can win your money. There's a way to look at it through a genius mindset. It's up to you to pick it out, though. That's on you guys.
All right.
Me.
So even if we move past the Illinois pick, you're stealing Canty every day this week at 7 o'clock.
Well, I mean, yeah. There's really nothing I can say about that one.
Jay Will, I got nothing to do with this ambush, by the way. I just want to let you know that.
I was going to talk to Rick about the fact, I mean, Minnesota Duluth last night, I mean, the longest game, right, in like college hockey history. I mean, wasn't Rick part of one?
I was, yeah. We were four overtimes, yep. Unfortunately, we lost. Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up, Jay. Yeah. I appreciate it.
See?
I guess I'm not starting off Monday on the right foot, Rick. I'm sorry. Damn it.
Yeah, you're really not. All right, let me ask you a quick one on college hoops, and then we can go around all of sports. Is Gonzaga, I mean, we've seen these teams play three games now. There's eight teams left. Is it completely Gonzaga, or could you see Michigan or Baylor still winning this thing?
It better be Gonzaga. Ricky, it better be Gonzaga. Like, we've been talking about this narrative for the longest time about, look, Mark Few, his teams, they always get there. They're always talented. They have one team at Shemek Karnowski. They had, like, a really great low post presence, great guard, and they couldn't get over the hump. And now this is the year that they should get over the hump. But I will say this, though. They will go undefeated. Like, I picked them to win the whole thing. They will go undefeated. And we're automatically going to start doing this, guys. We throw them in the conversation with the 1976 Indiana Hoosier team that went undefeated, and that's well-deserving. They should be. Are they the best team in college basketball? Yes, they are. Are they one of the greatest teams to ever play? No, they are not. They are not. And I really look at college basketball like this is a watered-down product. And I'm not saying it's not hard to win a championship. I've won one. I know how hard it is to win one. It's hard to win six games in a row. But, like, I just feel like when I watch them, yeah, is Jalen Suggs a pro? Yes, he'll be a top-five pick. Okay, Corey Kispert, is he a pro? Yes, I think he'll be a top-15 pick. But I still look at the overall talent this year in college basketball, and I'm like, okay. Like, it's, I don't know, like that team that almost went undefeated for Kentucky with Carl Anthony Towns. Like, I think that team is better than Gonzaga this year. I can go through a litany of teams that I think are better than Gonzaga this year. But I just don't want to throw them as one of the best teams to ever play just because they will be undefeated when they do win it all. Respect to them, I still want to say they're one of the best teams to ever play.
All right, so let's pencil that in. Jay thinks Gonzaga, so let's take Baylor.
Yep, there you go. Fade me. Just keep fading
me. Lose to Michigan.
All right, Jay. So I was upset this morning because I made a bet with Dave Rothenberg. So Dave has a video. Giants win the Super Bowl. Dave is naked, holding his newborn baby, singing "We Are the Champions." And he's got that on video. Okay? Wow. So the bet is, I think that James Harden has a legitimate chance to win the MVP. He doesn't. So
no,
I said,
no, no,
okay.
No. The bet is not he thinks James Harden has a legitimate chance to win MVP.
Let me frame it. Dave does not. So I said, okay, here's the bet. I'll take James Harden to win the MVP. You can have everyone else. I win, video gets released. If he wins, I have to make a donation to the Chris Canty Foundation. Does the addition of LaMarcus Aldridge make it harder for me to end up winning this bet?
No. You know, it's so funny. It's, you know, when people see the name, people automatically go, oh, he's an all-star in 2019. If you watch Spurs games over the last couple of years, you're like, okay, it's L.A. It's LaMarcus Aldridge. Like, he'll be a guy that comes off the bench and is poised once again for pick-and-pop situations. They play a faster style, which, you know, they're going to have to use him in spurts. Look, I think this – the additions of LaMarcus Aldridge and Blake Griffin only help James Harden. All right, these are perfect guys that unlock pick-and-roll scenarios, and that's what James Harden is brilliant at. I don't think it diminishes his opportunity of winning. I think it increases it because L.A. is a guy that can make a jump shot off a pick-and-pop. The same with Blake Griffin. Like, Sean Marks is getting guys in the buyout market that fit the style in which the Nets play. Which, hey, Kevin Durant, you want to be – if I'm coming off one side and I have KD and LaMarcus Aldridge setting the screen at the top of the key and I have Kyrie Irving in one corner and James Harden in the other, you can't leave those guys, right? So they're perfect fitting guys. They're not going to give you – I mean, Blake Griffin gave you 17 points the other night, but they're not going to go up for 35, 40 points. Like, they're actually players that will enhance the way James Harden already plays, who came out the other day and said, I am the MVP. Like, I think it's absurd that Vegas has him, the odds so low for him to win MVP. Like, his usage rate is off the charts. He had another 40-plus point game, almost a 40 triple-double again. And we're going to start talking about the Nets more and more and more when Kevin Durant comes back and Kyrie comes back. Now their next game up, like, just wait. It's going to happen.
Well, Jay, you brought up Kevin Durant. Steve Nash said yesterday that it's unlikely that KD comes back this week. At what point does the concern level over his injury get ratcheted up?
I've been concerned. See, I'm like, what is going on? Like, well, is it the hamstring? Is it something else? We don't know. And I'm obviously close to the situation from doing the boardroom with those guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I get it. Like, it's – and the real question comes back to me is, okay, when does KD come back? Like, how long – like, I need to see Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden more than seven games. I at least want to see them play 22 games together, 23 games together. Give me 15 games where you guys are getting ramped up, getting ready for the playoffs. because the longer we keep talking about KD not coming back and me not seeing him on the floor, even with the additions of Blake Griffin and LaMarcus Aldridge, all that sounds great. I'm watching Miami make moves. I'm, you know, 76ers are still going to be there, even though I don't think George Hill gets them over the hump. Like, they're still there. Like, the Knicks are still in this conversation. I'm not saying they're going to contend, but there are a lot of teams that are in Milwaukee still there, right? So, KD coming back is everything. I'm curious just how he will come back after having a month off. Plus, that's concerning, CC. Very concerning.
All right, Jay, we know you got to get ready for your show, and then you're stealing Chris from our show at 7 o'clock. So we'll talk to you and see what trouble you've gotten yourself into next Monday at 5:30. But have a great week.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you.
All right, there you have it. Jay Will joining us here on 98.7. You agree, Rick. Like, he is trying to sabotage our show
yes.
at this point. Yes,
that's absolutely what he's doing. We can see it, though. That's the thing, though. I mean, maybe this is what happens when you bring Alan on. You know what I mean? You bring in the premature pirate, and all of a sudden it's Jay now becomes a
right,
pirate.
Right, he feels
as well.
Like he has carte blanche to do whatever he wants to do.
Yeah, now he's going to pillage our show.
That's right.
This is what happens. And I couldn't disagree with him more, by the way, with the whole James Harden point. I mean, he mentioned the reason why you took the bet is because of Vegas, right? You saw the Vegas odds.
That's right.
That's part of the reason you take it. So he's already behind.
That's the only reason, really, I took the bet. I actually think he's deserving of the MVP, but Vegas is saying there's no chance he's going to win the MVP.
Which, again, which is why I asked him the question, because he's already starting from behind. Right? Because of where people, I mean, in Vegas is usually right for the most part. So if Vegas is saying this is these are his odds, clearly he's starting from behind who you think is going to be Jokic, correct?
Correct.
So, but here's the thing. Do I agree LaMarcus Aldridge, Blake Griffin help James Harden become a better player? I absolutely do. But sometimes perception is reality. Like you're still relying on, you know, human beings to vote. And if they perceive the Brooklyn Nets as a super team, and James Harden is starting from behind, especially with how it turned out in Houston to start the season. I don't know. I don't think this helps his cause. I don't. He'll be great. I have no doubt about that. But, I mean, how much credit is he going to get when his team is stacked and loaded?
So when Durant comes back and the three of them play together and it's Blake Griffin and Aldridge and just a litany of talent, you think he has a lesser chance to impress people because they'll be somewhat turned off by what they've done there in Brooklyn?
Are you not turned off with what they're doing right now?
I actually am, to be honest
okay.
with you.
All right. So there, I mean, that's when you're starting from behind and now all of a sudden you're perceived as this, as if it's unfair because you're now a super team. I don't think that helps your cause trying to win an MVP. I don't.
No, I don't think it helps anybody. But the fact that they will have one of the best records in all of basketball and they will be so dominant, that's going to put them front and center. I don't know that the LaMarcus Aldridge move and Blake Griffin, I don't know that it hurts his chances. It certainly doesn't help it, but I don't know that it hurts it as much as you seem to think it does.
I think the perception hurts him. I think he's deserving of the award, but, I mean, there have been plenty of times that players are deserving of the award and don't get voted for the award.
Fair point.
It is a fair point.
Like, I think it hurts LeBron that he's got – when LeBron and AD are healthy, I think it hurts LeBron that AD's on his team.
LeBron was going to win the MVP. If LeBron never
yes.
got hurt, he was going to win the MVP.
Yeah,
yeah with no AD. But again, that's okay. Here's LeBron's chance because there's no AD to prove to everyone how valuable he is to his team.
And look what they are when you take those two guys off the team. I mean, they're not even a playoff team. If you have LeBron on that team right now, they're winning all these games. Just LeBron, no AD. Without both of them, they wouldn't even be a playoff team in the Western Conference.
They struggled to win against Orlando yesterday.
Yeah, and Orlando's is raised the white flag. They're completely giving up. The Michael Kay Show, Drop Madness, continues today. Have your dials tuned to 98.7 ESPN. At what time, Rick? What time?
1:55, Dave.
That's right. They're in the ones now. At 1:55, and be ready to cast votes for each matchup at TMKS ESPN on Twitter. Drop Madness presented by Wendy's, where quality is our recipe. Wendy's, we got you. Before they agreed to move to 1:55, did Michael call you and make sure you were okay with it?
He ran it by me. I said, you got to do it.
You're fine.
You have to do it. It makes perfect sense. Yankees now, we're not going to lose you from the show. It actually fits my schedule better, which is great.
Is it stressful for you, though, now? Because now there's an extra hour of content starting at 1:55. Do you find that stressful that you now have more chore, more to do, more to listen to?
No, absolutely not. No, this is even better now. 2 o'clock, we're outside, we're playing. I got the K show on the radio in the garage. It's perfect. I'll give it to you whenever you want it. Yeah, just tell me how you like it.
All right, there you have it. Adam Schefter, he gives it to us as well. He was on Max, which can be heard every day 2 to 4 on 10:50 a.m. right now. With the series of trades, what does this mean for Sam Darnold with the Jets.
I think the market on Sam has fluctuated between a second-round pick and a late one. Now, the issue is that I think certain teams have filled certain quarterback spots.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen Washington sign Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen the Bears sign Andy Dalton.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen the 49ers trade three ones to move up to number three. And so the number of potential bidders for Sam Darnold today is not what it was a month ago. And so, therefore, the market, the demand for Sam Darnold, I think there's interest still, but the demand is not as great. And so the way to maximize trade return is to have wide bidders, a lot of bidders. I don't think the Jets are going to be able to have that right now. I think that they may get some teams interested in Sam Darnold, but they're not going to get a plethora of teams that are interested in Sam Darnold right now.
Well, again, it only takes one. And if you tell me you're going to get an early second-round pick or a late first-round pick, I would think you've done well if you're the Jets, as long as you get something of real value in return, and that's real value.
Yeah, I don't necessarily agree with what Shefty is talking about right there with the Chicago Bears signing Andy Dalton and the Washington football team taking Ryan Fitzpatrick. Like, those quarterbacks being signed don't preclude those clubs from being able to make a move for Sam Darnold. Those guys are stopgaps. Those guys are bridges. They're not your future at the quarterback position. And I think Sam does represent some upside in terms of being able to help a team solve the question of who their guy is going to be for the foreseeable future. Like, Ryan Fitzpatrick is not going to be the starting quarterback of the Washington football team in 2022, nor will Andy Dalton be for the Chicago Bears. So I guess when I look at it, I still see Sam Darnold as being a viable option for a lot of clubs that are looking for a young quarterback. I think it's just a matter of getting to the draft and the Jets actually making a pick at two and taking Zach Wilson. Then that gives them the freedom to be able to move on from Sam.
Let me ask you guys a question. So Shefty said late first round, potentially second round.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, Chicago Bears. I mean, their social media already has Andy Dalton as the starting quarterback. And
I don't know what they're doing, but like, why are they doing this?
I have no idea. But I mean, this
to infuriate the fan base, they're sending out tweets if he's our quarterback one. Like, what is the point of behind that?
What's amazing to me is that these multi-billion-dollar organizations have like just some random people handling their social media. It's not the first time that we've seen social media send out a ridiculous tweet or IG post, right?
It's ridiculous.
Okay, so the Bears pick at 20, the Jets pick at 23. If Joe Douglas decided he wanted to package the 23rd pick and Sam Darnold to move up to 20, would you think that was good?
No. I'd rather get a second round pick standing by itself than move up three spots in the first round and including Sam Darnold.
I don't know. That would be a move that I would, depending on what was on the board at that moment. If there was a player I loved that I wasn't gonna get at 23, I would consider doing something like that.
Chris?
I would take the second round pick.
And not move up three spots, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would take that.
Yeah, because you're talking about a difference of, what, 90 points on the draft value trade chart? And a second round pick, let's see, a Bears second round pick is 380 points. So, yeah, I would take the second round pick.
The standalone second round pick. You just want to move up in that draft, don't you?
Well, no, I'm just saying it's an option. I mean, if there's a player you love, if there's a player that slides because all these quarterbacks are going up at the top, and there's someone that you love that's sitting there at, you know, at 20, and you don't feel like you can wait to get him at 23. I mean, it didn't just have to be Sam and a switch. Maybe it's Sam, you know, Sam 23 and a third round pick.
All right, well, that's different. If you're giving me a third round pick and I'm moving up to 20, I'm giving you Sam and 23. Yeah, that's a little more enticing. I have it as a sweetener. Let's say that. And if I need to use it to play that chip to move up to get a guy that I'm in love with, I'm not opposed to it. I just think I would need more than moving up three spots. Do you guys love what Miami is doing? I mean, just love. I'm not saying you love it from the Jets' perspective, Rick, but aren't they masterfully playing the NFL draft right now?
Yeah, unless Tua can't play.
What the hell he's doing?
Well, unless Tua can't play. I mean, that would be the only downside to what they're doing is that Tua's not very good.
Yeah, right? But I think they're in a position where they at least have to give Tua the opportunity, right? Like, I understand if the Dolphins decided they were going to move on from Tua for Deshaun Watson, but if you're not in that position and you're not sold on, you know, Justin Fields or Trey Lance, those quarterbacks that will be left on the board at three, then it makes sense to try to support Tua and see what he can be now being another year removed from that hip surgery that he had in his last season at Alabama. Like, I just feel like the Dolphins owe it to themselves and owe it to the kid to try to give him everything that he needs to see if he can be successful.
Well, on top of the fact, too, I mean, you're positioned right. I mean, if Russell Wilson doesn't get traded, it feels like if it's not this year because of the dead money, it's going to be next year. So now you have the opportunity to go. I mean, if Tua can't play, now you still have the ammunition to go try to trade for Russell Wilson if you want.
That's right. But if there's four, and I think we agree, right, there's going to be four quarterbacks taken in the top five, or do we not? Are we in agreement on that or no?
Dave, we might have four quarterbacks taken in the first four picks.
Right, exactly. So yeah. Now if you're Miami, you're saying we're not taking a quarterback. We're going to wind up with, at worst then, the second best non-quarterback player in this draft. I mean, that's terrifying to think of. So you've added Will Fuller to the mix here. Now you're going to add any receiver you probably want. Then you're going to add whatever you want at 18 as well, offensive lineman or whoever. I mean, it's daunting to think about what the Dolphins are in position to do.
But I think that's why it makes sense that if the Jets are all in with whatever quarterback it is, it feels like Zach Wilson, then when you look at your own division, where the Patriots are right now, where Buffalo's at, where Miami's headed, is you're not going to all of a sudden have this offseason bring back Sam and be a team that can win the AFC East.
No. In fact, I don't even see a way you could not come in last in this division if you brought back Sam Darnold.
I don't care who the quarterback is. I mean, unless it's Deshaun Watson, if it's Zach Wilson or Sam Darnold, you're going to have your hands full in this division. It doesn't matter. The only difference is Zach Wilson would be going into year one and you'd reset the money. So by the time you are ready to win, which is if it's not this year, you're hoping it's going to be the year after. And even if it's not the year after, it's going into year three, you still got a quarterback making rookie money. So you can still continue to upgrade your team for when he's ready to win. I mean, if you trust the coaching staff, I mean, if you're going to sit here and tell me the reason why you'd bring back Sam is because you trust the coaching staff to get the best out of him, then you you have to say the same thing about they're going to get the best out of Zach Wilson as well then.
You would figure.
And which quarterback do you think, if you're the coaching staff, has the higher ceiling?
Chris, do you buy into the pro day? Like everyone watches it on Friday and, oh, they're in love with Zach Wilson from the pro day. Are you one of these people that goes gaga over that?
No, I don't go gaga over it, but I do think it's another data point. Like you have an opportunity to see the kid move around and see him throw the football. There's something to be said for watching him throw live as opposed to watching it on tape. But you're just using the pro day to confirm everything that you've already seen in your evaluation of him. So, I mean, the pro day is just a matter of being able to check the boxes. It's like it's a small part of the evaluation, Dave. I don't think it's this big, huge thing. But everything gets amplified the closer we get to the draft. And I think that with Zach Wilson, there are a lot of eyes on him because a lot of people around the NFL feel like that is the second overall pick, regardless of who's making the pick.
He's gonna go too. He's absolutely going to go too.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.